Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
In this league, hour two, we are back. I'm Chris Welsh. You can find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. If you would like friendos, you can follow me on the Twitterverse. That's Bogman. You can find him on Twitter at Bogman Sports. And you can email him if you want. I was about to like start being like, hey, we got the entry leagues, but it's not the football podcast. But I don't know. If you want to like email Bogman.
What left in the entry leagues? We have, I believe, one spot left in Medieval, although by the time this airs, it's probably gone. But we do have spots left in our 20-man IDP league. So winner gets a ring from officialfantasyrings.com, and you compete against the Welsh and I, and it's a lot of fun, man. 20-man IDP league. I guess our guy, Fam, Rob Ditton, did a mock the other day, and he said, it's real ugly. So
he's yeah,
like, real ugly.
I bet it does. What's the like strangest email you've gotten from a listener ever?
Strangest email?
Yeah. Random. If you ever got like a random where someone wanted to add,
where it was clear that they were either high, like really high, or really drunk.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, just because like I feel like the prospect people like to reach out to me. But like other
rigid though. Those are like please help me decide between blah, blah, blah.
That's what I'm getting at. Like, I think I induce a little bit more fear for people. So, like, I think people might feel more comfortable with you. And I feel like, you know, because you have given your phone number out on a podcast before and your email is accessible. I feel like people would contact you. Like, has anybody asked you for, like, financial advice or?
Financial advice from me?
I don't know. Like, your favorite place to shop for T-shirts?
No. I haven't had... I haven't had that. I've had a couple of, you know, hey, I'm coming in for spring training in Arizona. You know,
can I stay with you?
Never that, but give me some restaurants or some, you know, some activities or something like that. So I've gotten a couple of those, but that's, you know, as far as asking my advice, you know, it's usually about fantasy sports and nothing else because, you know, if you look at my life, that's probably all that's going well for me. So.
Well, I bet there's some other stuff that you are a kind of a know-it-all in some other places that I, you know, I just wondered what your emails look like.
Those questions are all in Club 37. Hey Bogman, who is this?
Yeah. You know, yeah.
And then I answer the question. That happened yesterday.
99% of the time, you don't even have to do an image search back. You can tell exactly which
search yesterday, but I was like, I know who this is. It was one of those, like, I know who this is. It was Victoria Ray Black. And the reason I didn't know her had her hair dyed red. I was like, I know who this is, but I don't
sneaky.
I can't do it. So I did a image search and I said, oh, that's Victoria Ray Black.
But sneaky. It's very sneaky. I'm telling you, I think it would be, you know, it'd be a great game show that we could have. People could bet on it. You know, it's just like we have 10 images and we have to see Bogman is going to have to on the fly. You have a timer of 10 seconds to figure out who it is. And will he get it right? It'd be a great game show. We could
I don't know if I would be as good. Like during quarantine, I become a little mechanical with that. So it's kind of like I've been on the same like 6-7 video rotation for a little while. So I haven't really been diving deep. So my name storage is kind of going away. There were a couple the other day someone was posting. I'm like, God, I used to know who this is, but I can't remember at all. And that happened yesterday. But that was just the dyed hair. So
Getting old. Well, it's an idea for a game we can do. If you missed any of hour one, you can go back and listen on the podcast here and you can listen further into kind of what we were just talking about. We haven't had Victoria Ray Black or whatever her name was come up in a podcast before, but that conversation would more likely happen on our secret shows. So we've got 80 plus comedy secret shows of nonsense
And, you know, they're usually very inappropriate. And the next one's going to be very inappropriate of what I need to talk about.
So, okay, I like that.
It's what it is. It's what you're not going to, but it's not, I mean, it's not going to be what you're going to.
You're not going to like it because it's gross?
It's not great. It's not great.
Okay. All right.
It's an uncomfortable conversation. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be a fantastic one.
This is an uncomfortable conversation that's already happened, right? Like, I'm not going to be the uncomfortable one. Like, maybe I'll cringe listening, but I'm not
probably
be uncomfortable listening, right?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be something I listen to and you'll be like, I don't like that. That's the tease for it.
I get embarrassed kind of easy. I don't know why I'm so filled with shame. You have that too sometimes, where it's hard to watch a show.
It is.
You know, I've been putting The Office on in the background, and sometimes when I look up and I know something super embarrassing is happening, I'm like, let's just fast forward to this part right here. I don't
know.
I've seen this, so we can get to another funny part. It doesn't have to be this one right here, because Michael Scott is cringy. You know, that's Steve Carell's character.
Not necessarily cringy as it is just uncomfortable. So that's we'll leave it at that is where the story's going to go. So people can check that out. All right. We didn't get to it because we were talking about just kind of college sports and draft stuff in the last segment. But Shohei Ohtani it's a trippy situation that's going on. And more so because of the conversations we've been having. I've actually been enjoying, you know, the baseball stuff. I feel like we've really been, you know, ahead or just nailing stuff on the head here of like the, you know, the rookies and the Joe Adell stuff and, you know, just getting ahead of conversations of things that are going to go on. And one of those that we had when the Ohtani injury happened, and you know, he came up lame after his second start, and he's now been shut down from pitching, was immediately you questioning should this pitching be shut down forever? And I kind of pushed back against that because I was like, man, I'd be really surprised if this was the thing. And he's so young, and what they had paid for. And then we went further into it on another podcast we do called the Fantasy Black Book with Joe Pizzapia. And you and Joe were very adamantly still on that front of like, this could be the thing that ends it. And I just really didn't think it was going to happen. Well, they officially shut him down. They said he would hit. And then you guys were kind of vindicated because the quote kind of came out that Shohei Ohtani wants to still pitch and hit, but is open to listening and considering if the Angels wanted him to focus on one of the two. Now, it wasn't pitching is done. It was one of the two. And I personally was very shocked about that because I thought the quote would first come from the Angels and it wouldn't come from Shohei Ohtani, because I thought this is one of the reasons that he signed here. But for him to come out and say he is open if they want to cut one of these, I think it's kind of a big deal.
Well, if he needs another surgery, I think, you know, even if he wants to pitch, he now knows what it takes to come back from Tommy John. And I mean, kind of, because he didn't really make it all the way back from Tommy John, right? So, you know, he pitched, what was it, in two games, and then had another injury after his TJ surgery. So I don't think he was rushed back. I don't think that, you know, him hitting had anything to do with this injury recropping up for him or anything. I think it's just one of those things where it's just not going to work, you know? And, it sounds like he needs another serious surgery. I don't know that he's going to have that. They're going to let him DH for the rest of the year, take a look at it at the end of the year, and then move on from then. So if it's not a major surgery, then maybe if it's just a minor procedure or maybe it's just rest, he'll probably do that, I would say. But if they look at it and they say, no, this is torn, you need another surgery, then I think he would say, you know what, do the surgery, but I'm just, you know, Tommy John for a hitter is 6 months and you come back and you're okay. You know,
yeah. So
maybe sometimes with complications a little bit longer than that, but you know, he's such a good hitter. And that was really the thing coming in. Remember, there were scouts comparing him to a high schooler as far as his hitting goes. They said, nah, he's not that good. You saw him in that Tijuana game with all of the weirdness going on there during the World Baseball Classic when he was out here during spring training. And, you know, you said he actually looks better than that, better than a high school hitter, what some people are calling him.
Well, it was actually the inverse, because this
was way bad.
Well, no, because the Tijuana game, he was only pitching. So this was a non-scripted during spring training. You know, this was the first spring training and it wasn't on any books, but it was at the Angel Stadium. He was pitching. But before that, and actually, if you guys want to see it, it's still on our YouTube, youtube.com/inthisleague. I think I posted both of them on under the Prospect One section. We don't have a bunch of stuff there, but I did post those. Before that, I saw him in a spring training game hitting, and he wasn't pitching in that. And that was against, okay, I think, the Diamondbacks. It was Angels Diamondbacks, and he was only hitting in that game. And then I saw the one where he was pitching. This is all before he made his actual debut.
Yeah.
And the hitting was rough, but it looked better than you would expect, especially with the swing. And his stuff with pitching was great, but he was super inconsistent. And he got rocked by some dude in this, you know, this independent Tijuana team, jacked a two-run shot against him in the first inning. And he was crazy inconsistent, though when he was on, his pitches were ridiculous. They were ridiculous.
It sounds like from what you're saying now, and it being, 2 years removed from that spring training, maybe three, I can't even remember.
I think it's we're two.
Yeah, so it sounds like he was just nervous during spring training. And that was probably just, you know, because of the crazy amount of cameras. He had all of the Japanese cameras in there with him and all of the American cameras, and all the reporters were following him around everywhere. Sounds like maybe he's just nervous, because when he started to hit, we were all genuinely surprised. It was like, oh, wow, Ohtani hit his first homer. That came pretty quick. I think it was like his second or third game where he was hitting. He hit a bomb, and then they just started coming, right? And he just started unloading bombs, stealing bases, you know, hitting for a high average and all this stuff. And if you look at his StatCast numbers this year as a hitter, he's second in barrels per plate appearance behind Corey Seager, who's having an absolute breakout season so far this year. Yeah. So he's such a good hitter. It kind of makes sense that you might be wasting him trying to get him back as a starting pitcher.
So let me throw this at you. By the way, a quote by Aldin Gonzalez on ESPN. This was like 2 days ago, as you guys are listening to this. The quote was, "If the possibility is there, obviously I want to try. And I think the Angels signed me thinking that I'm going to be a two-way player. I just need to get back healthy on the mound and try to accomplish that." That was a conversation about him still wanting to pitch. But what if the Angels shocked us and they said, "We do want you to play one spot," and they wanted him to focus on just being a pitcher?
I would be surprised. I would be, I shouldn't say that, because pitching is so much harder to come by, and that's why they get these enormous contracts when they're only starting, 30 games a year and all that stuff. It's real hard to come by. And, that was his thing coming into Major League Baseball, was he's a really, really good pitcher. He's got a lot of power and a lot of speed as a hitter, but we don't know how that's going to translate. That was pretty much what they said. He's going to be a dominant pitcher. He could be a good hitter. And now that we see him in the bigs, he's been an injured pitcher and a really good hitter. So it seems like the course of his career has changed a little bit. So I guess I shouldn't say I would be shocked by that. I just guess I would say, knowing what he came from, that he was a really good starter that maybe could also hit at the big league level, to now that what we know about him, he's a guy that can definitely hit at the big league level, but he's been hurt as a pitcher, so we haven't really seen his top end, as a pitcher yet.
Yeah, and logistically, like with the injuries, it doesn't make sense what I'm saying. Like,
he's not
getting hurt as a position player. He's getting hurt as a pitcher, and he's really gets thrown off his rhythm. That's what I saw before he made his pro debut in that Tijuana game, where, when his command is off and he can't get swings on, any slider, splitter, any funky stuff, and he has to go back to the fastball. Yes, it pops, but if he's not, able to paint and he's throwing it down the gut, here's what hitters are doing. I don't have to swing at any of this other bull crap. I'll wait for the fastball. And when it comes in, I'm just going because it's coming across the plate. So when he gets off of rhythm, he gets hit up. And he seems to consistently have some of these bang up injury things. It's all happening from the mound. So the likely scenario is hitting. And also, if he's going to DH this year, we don't know to what degree, if it's going to be like full time, or is he going to kind of follow a similar like couple days and take a break, whatever it is. But if he has another extremely successful year as a hitter, then it could be telling. I mean, he could struggle. They could just shut him down completely, and maybe he has a surgery and he moves on to next year, and maybe the slate is clean. But if he is a dominant hitter again, the team
if he keeps
might
up this barrels percentage, then why? Why would
he might have to consider it? Because it's a lot. I mean, he's young enough, though. That was my point when we were debating it, is he's young enough with the investment that they have that, you know, they might just, it just might not be worth even going down that road. It's like, listen, this is what we want out of you. But to be fair, you can't go 4 years of continuously trying to tap into this product. Not that he's a product, but the pitcher that you've invested in to be a hitter and a pitcher. And you can't keep hoping it's going to go one way or the other when it's clearly not. You're going to have to make a decision, you know, S or get off the pot at some point.
Right. Right. And, you know, I guess just the kind of the point I would make to that is I'm just looking, when is Pujols' contract up? It is up after next season. So he's a free agent in 2022. You know, just give him a first baseman's glove. That's to be honest, that's what I would do. And I know he's a dominant pitcher and that decision's not up to me and all that stuff. I would make him a first baseman. I think he could develop into a crazy good fielder, knowing what kind of speed he has. He's super tall. Give him a first baseman's glove. Let him play first. And you know, give some of that money that you were giving to Pujols to another pitcher. You know, and because he's making $30 million a year, and that's going to come off the books after next season. So
here's what's interesting too to consider with him, which could work to your advantage a little bit. They only have him through 2023. And I know, like, when you hear that, it seems like, oh my gosh, it's forever. It's actually not, because it's already 2020.
If he gets Tommy John surgery this offseason, he's not coming back till 2022. And that first year back is always a weird year. You're bad with command. You have spotty control. You know, your velocity is usually up, but they're not used to that velocity either. So, like I said, it's harder to command. So it's usually a little bit of a wash year. You're going to be okay.
So that they should be concerned about that. You only have, if you don't count this year, you've got 3 more years after this of control. Now, here's the thing where the Angels might not be looking to go too crazy is he is arbitration eligible. I think he was this year at the end of this year. So this would be an arbitration. And then he goes into this, it's the pre-arbitration. Then 21 through 23, he is full on arbitration eligible. Well, he's not accumulating games whatsoever. He's both positions. He's not necessarily one of them. So it actually might work in their favor, the games he's played, and he doesn't qualify at one position to attack arbitration early on. But still, at the same point, the main thing with Ohtani is, you know, it's cool. You had fun in 19. You were hoping to really get going this year, so 2021, you could start off in the races. But if you have another surgery, you only have so much time, and you don't know, unless he signs another contract, you don't know if he's going to walk, and you don't want to help him develop or develop him at one spot. And then, you know, hey, if you take him off of a pitcher, he walks away. The Angels are in a really weird spot. Hopefully he is kind of drawn to this team and he's not going to walk away with it. And I just don't think we're going to get an answer outside of him being a hitter. And that's what we have got returning to the DH spot on Thursday. All right. Don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up. Bogman Welsh, we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
It's In This League.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make.
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world? Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Welcome back, friendos. It is In This League right here on Sports Grid. What are you guys doing? I wish we were back to taking calls. Like, what are the people doing sitting around? You just got Sports Grid on the back. What are you doing, like? Sitting in the pool, doing some yard work, drinking a beer.
Dicey. I feel like they'd be better now. They'd be better now because everyone's kind of at home, you know. Some of the callers, see, you just said you wanted callers and then immediately made fun of them.
It's a double-edged sword.
It is.
Like, I felt it, and then you started to say it, and then getting to hear you comment on it, I was like, you know what? Maybe, like, just processing it more. Like, right. I think back to some of the calls, the unbelievable calls we got when we were a live, you know, live call-in show. We get a couple good ones, and we had a couple regular callers, but then we'd have the radio caller. You know, it's like, do you know what you're calling? Do you know what even you're doing? But I'm always curious, radio specific, because, you know, podcast, if you're listening to a podcast, you're doing whatever you want to do. You may be doing some chores. You're out at the grocery store. You're doing like me. You're just podcast. You know, headphones in, not listening to anybody as you're walking through the store. You don't even have to pretend to smile now. You're happy as can be. But radio people.
I love that all the stuff your wife hates, you're like, that's why I love the masks. So she's like, I hate seeing not seeing people smile and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, no, that's actually what I like about it, is I like that no one will interact with me. And to be honest, I went to the grocery store today and I was in and out in 4 minutes. Like, I knew exactly what I wanted. I walked in, I got my stuff, and I walked out. I can't stand seeing it. I also worked at a grocery store for like 5 years, so there's no need to stay in there any longer.
I actually don't go to stores now that don't have like self-checkout, unless I have to.
I try not to. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I just cut off all the interaction. I don't want people to lose jobs and stuff like that, but like restaurants now, the first time we kind of, you know, what is it, like, pushed through getting to a restaurant. I don't know what the good analogy was, or the thing to say, but we
broke the streak of not going to a restaurant.
Right? We hadn't been in 5 months. My wife was struggling a little bit with it, we took a midday, you know, there'd be less people. We went into a restaurant, we were masked up. Like, we didn't even care how it was going to go, just to see what it was going to be like. And there were like three people in the restaurant at the time we went. And they were really hardcore on the policies. You had to wear the mask everywhere except for the table. But also, like, the new technologies, they're like, please scan this QR code. And that was their menu. And then you go, and then you scan a QR code to pay. And that was it. Yeah. Like, I mean, the only interaction was the food coming over, which, you know, it can be dicey, but everyone's wearing masks. And it was like this hardcore thing. And I was like, man, I barely have to like talk to anybody. And you want to know what I did, Bugs? You wonder what I did in that instance too? This would be the inverse. Because I think people would be like, you know, oh, if you can't interact, and how are you gonna I tip the guy more than I tip anybody. I tip the guy. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, pat me on the back or anything like that. I'm not flush with any type of money, but you know what I did? I tipped the guy over 50% of the bill.
That, you know, that's real nice to do for two reasons. Number one, you show that you appreciate that. Not only is the waiter doing everything right, but also the restaurant's doing everything right.
And I told him, I actually asked him about like how it's been going, and I just felt really bad. Like, those guys have it so rough. And that's why I did it, not to be like, ooh, Mr. Nice Guy. But also, like, he was nice in the like short interaction that we had to deal with each other. He was overtly nice, and I just felt bad. And there's not much I can do, you know, to help anybody any day. So I was just like, I'm going to tip this guy more than I would ever tip. But it also was, there was like just no interaction whatsoever.
Well, tipping is a strange policy because not many other countries do it. You know, most of the countries, when you go to a restaurant, the waiter's getting paid a livable wage and it's coming from the restaurant. But, you know, because he's getting all that, everything is way more expensive. You know, the food's more expensive. You know, the drinks are way more expensive. Every little thing costs extra. It's that kind of stuff where, as in this country, and it's, you know, it's to the detriment of the employee more than it is the employer, of course, that, you kind of take a risk. You kind of take a risk at every, like when I do Postmates, every door I go to is a risk that I won't get tipped, so I get a base for what I do, but that really, that pays for like my gas, maybe a little bit more than that. But between gas and repairs, that I break about even doing that. I depend on the tips to make money. So some people get bitter about it and stuff, but it's always like, well, if you didn't have tipping, you would be paying way more. And also, you know, I kind of bake that into the price when I order anything for delivery or any, I go to a restaurant, I bake in the tip price.
Well, most normal people do.
Most normal people do. But you also like giving a little extra. Number one, if it's a place you're going to go to multiple times, people start to like you there. Like, oh, this is the guy that gives $5 instead of $3, or this is a guy that gives us $2 at the counter, whatever that is. You get better service, especially if you're a repeat customer. And number two, if you give a little extra like you did, it makes that person's day. Their whole day is better because you gave them whatever, 10 extra bucks, which, maybe not everybody can do. And I completely understand that. I don't expect everybody to do it. But every once in a while when you can and you do it, you're making that person's day.
Oh, and everything sucks really right now. Well, everything sucks right now. And that was the whole point, is they were all taking everything incredibly serious.
It's such a nice
serious.
Thing to do. I'm really happy to hear you.
Well, it's just they're taking everything serious. But, the main point of the potential pat on the back that I just gave myself there was more like everything is moving forward into just like you don't have to have the interactions. I'm not against interacting with people, but like usually they're not great. So if you can really make it count in those short stints now, because now you don't have to get a bill and now you don't have to have menus and you have to have less of that. And it was a comfortable setting. It's all good. So right. I appreciate that. Mask, don't have to talk to people, self-checkout. I'm okay with doing all the stuff myself, where there's so many other people that don't want that in the world. Football talk. Let's get into some real football talk outside of Tip Talk with Bogman and the Whales, restaurant talk, what we're doing. Bogman pulled a couple articles, and I think these would be good. We'd like to do these from time to time, picking over on the Fantasy Pros side. They got lots of aggregate stuff on there. They can get lots of quotes from different contributors. And I think, if anything, not that we're not reading it because it's not good info, because it definitely is good info, but it makes good fodder for conversation here to kind of debate back and forth with. And we got a couple of these. And the first one up here we want to attack, and this is a really good one. It's avoid these 10 draft mistakes. So if you guys want, go to fantasypros.com. You can type in draft mistakes and you'll find the article. It's just by the Fantasy Pros staff. So I can't.
And Jake actually told us about this article too, because he wrote a blurb for it. So
and we were on All In Sports with Jake earlier in the week. Another one of the things that we did. And we've been churning out a lot of football content. We had one of our best podcasts that we do in the football draft season, the draft ranks analysis. And we've talked a lot of strategy throughout everything we do, especially in the live mock drafts we do. But this is from an outside source. So let's dig in and see what they've got here as far as the draft mistakes. And I want to see how, because they started off with a question.
Is what they did was they had 10 people say what the biggest here draft is. Mistake is.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got them here.
Yeah. The first couple there from Greg Smith and Mike Tagliere are both basically going into any draft with a set strategy of what you have to do.
Not being flexible.
Yes, not being flexible. That's the best way to say it, the Welsh, is not being flexible, because we have said this and beat it over the head repeatedly on the ITL Fantasy Football podcast, is that we want to take running backs early because the position scarcity is so terrible this year.
Yeah.
It's even worse, it feels like, than normal years. At the end of the year, it may not be and all that stuff, but going in, there's just a lot of uncertainty. So we have been saying what we want is we want two running backs at least in the first three rounds. And that's what we would like to do. It's not always going to work out like that. I mean, we've done many, many mock drafts where we've had to pivot from that strategy or just a specific strategy because things didn't break the way. So you do definitely have to be flexible, and I think it's a great point to make.
Yeah, I think it is. There's a balance between, being too stringent, not being like, you don't have to go in with the set strategy, because, that's what Tagliere says, going in with some set strategy, on what someone wants to do is a mistake. I agree for the most part, but you know, also being what
Otani just hit a bomb.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Otani hit a bomb. is also being like cognizant of what you need to do. So like, I would agree with what he's saying, but still at the same time, that doesn't mean that would like, I still want my running backs. So yeah. Like I'm pushing back, I guess, a little bit on it where they say, you know, going in with a set strategy. Well, if my strategy is I need to get running backs early, I'm going to stick to that. But my flexibility comes in where I wouldn't just avoid crazy talent. I could say like we did in the Flex League draft, we had the second pick and then coming back around in this 12 team, we were pretty dead set on it being a version of two quarterbacks and a running back or two running backs and a quarterback. It was going to be right. That was our strategy. But when we were asked about breaking it down, like how did Davante Adams, who was a couple picks away from us in the second round, fallen? I don't think we would have avoided that. We would have taken that. So
it
maybe
was
that's
hard to
kind
pass.
Of,
we passed DeAndre Hopkins at that.
It was very, very hard.
And
for
that
us
was
to
difficult
do that.
To do that.
Yeah.
So
I agree with that. Next one on here. This is from Dan Claskins. Says not accounting for position scarcity during a fantasy draft is.
I feel like that's
mistake.
Almost the opposite of. Don't go in with a specific strategy.
It is funny because that actually is speaking to us. What we're saying is like,
yeah,
there will be a scarcity of running backs by the time you get to the fifth and sixth round. And I know someone will be like, yeah, but let me tell you something about this or this. Okay, get it. But that doesn't mean there's not scarcity. There is a huge scarcity of running backs five rounds, five and up, where there is a depth of wide receiver. So that's what he's talking about. Not understanding scarcity. I'd also say, and because I don't know if it's on here, but like understanding runs, you know, we experience that a lot where, you know, you want to take your running backs and whatnot, but all of a sudden, and we saw it happen in multiple drafts we've done where you're like, okay, this guy usually goes here, you know, hey, James Conner, usually a fourth round pick. All of a sudden there's a run and now James Conner is in the second to third round. So understanding scarcity while also understanding the runs properly, I think is that's a pretty important one.
Yeah, it is. It is a very, very important one. And the next one is one that this is the whole reason we do ranks analysis.
Yeah.
And this is from Mauricio Gutierrez from Estadio Fantasy. And he says being too reliant on ADP. And that is, you know, he makes great points in here. Like I said, if you want to go look at the article, it's on Fantasy Pros. We don't want to give it all away here. But this is why we do ranks analysis, is to let you know that Leonard Fournette is ranked 44 on Yahoo. You know what I mean? There's crazy things in each different website. You know, we've said the generalities. Yahoo is higher at quarterbacks and tight ends. Fantrax doesn't adjust much because, you know, like you make the point, their ADP is not only based on just regular drafts, but Fantrax has more dynasty drafts than anybody. They have best balls that are being drafted as well. So their ADP can get weird. And anyone who gets helium at the end of the year, they're not going to get enough helium in that system to move their ADP up because they don't adjust. You know, ESPN and Yahoo, their X rank and normal rank are done by projections, which do change and all that stuff. That's why Clyde Edwards-Helaire moved from 24 to 9 for Yahoo within a day of Damian Williams opting out because the projections adjust and move and change. So sometimes those ADPs will move, but when whatever site they're using, when we think that Yahoo uses RotoWire, right?
Yeah, I think that's where they get their projections. And so does Fantrax.
So obviously they have bad projections for Leonard Fournette. So he's way, way down there. So if you like Fournette, like someone on this podcast does, me, and you think he's a, you know, borderline first round pick. I have him in the first round, but I know I don't have to take him there for in any league. You don't have.
You're saying me or were you? Is that rhetorical?
No. Name. I'm just saying just in general, like you like Fournette, like Fournette, you like Eckler, and they're not very high on Eckler either.
No,
you
not.
know,
I think the easy way to say this is like ADPs are a fantastic roadmap to understanding where players are going.
They tell you where the deals are.
But it's also the avoid here is they can be a crutch for people to be like, well, this is just where people go. This is where this guy goes. I have to go. Like if we've done our work and I like to go and check out ADP to remind me, okay, here's a relative range of players. Oh yeah, there's my guy right there. Something like that. It's definitely, it can be set on both sides. What's interesting, it moves forward here is we kind of, I feel like we go away from these like major overarching statements of, you know, mistakes, and it goes into more like drawn down things. Like specifically here, Richard Saville from Fantasy Six Pack lists adding a second quarterback if you have one of the top 10. And he's talking about in a single quarterback 12 team snake. So what's interesting about that is I'm not sure I would put that as like the top 10 draft mistakes people make, because I think there are some applicable reasons that we've talked about before. Specifically,
I think this year in particular is COVID.
Yeah. Like, and also, like, if you would have said this with like Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes, like if you would say with the top five quarterbacks and you take a backup, okay, I guess I'll give that to you, because the argument here is
if you're
in a 12, you're not going to play matchups, but also there's going to be amazing backups across the board. But when you start to get into the like 8 and 9 range, I actually personally kind of dig a little bit taking a Drew Brees and then taking maybe a Tom Brady or taking a Matthew Stafford. If you could take two of those guys and you can play matchups with those guys, you might be able to return, though it could mess with your brain a little bit and you could be on the opposite end. You might be able to return some awesome, top five quarterback value with two of those guys. So I think it's a little bit, centric here to be like, this is like the fifth mistake they put on here. And I'm not sure it's that much.
Well, it could have been too that he had one of those other ones picked out and saw that, three other guys had it. And he's like, all right, I'll change it up here. But in general, I'm with this rule. But I think this year specifically, I don't like it because of COVID and because benches are getting deeper because of the outbreaks we've seen in baseball.
That's a big one.
Making their benches deeper and deeper. So you're not going to have those good quarterbacks on the wire if you do have deeper benches and deeper injury lists.
And you can set yourself apart. Like I said, I think this is a fluid one because you can set yourself apart a little bit if you have the top backup where someone else doesn't. So we got to go to break. We come back, final segment of hour two. And when we do, we're going to finish up a little bit of this article. And we've got one more for you talking about some ADP risers and fallers. But, hold too hard for those ADPs. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Welsh
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wiseass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In this league.
This is the way. Stop touching things.
All right, we're back. As you know, it is Bogman. It is Welsh. We're in this league, and we're right here on Sports Grid. Final segment, hour two, which means final segment with me, John Lobb, coming up in the hour three. What's on the docket for you and Lobb?
I'm going to show him our Superflex roster and see how he likes it. And what I did was, and I hope he didn't see it before, but I want to see, I took away the team names for everybody. I put it in a Google spreadsheet and I sent it to him there and I said, hey, pick out your favorite team here. So we'll see if he insults us and says, well, I wouldn't do what, team two did here at all. Or if he says, I really like team two. So I kind of did a blind taste test for him as far as the Superflex League goes. So, and I'm going to talk a little strategy with him there. And then I set up some more player debates to do with him. So should be a fun hour with Lob coming up.
Okay. The blind taste test sounded gross how you said that. I just want to point out.
I mean, there's a little bit gross,
but that was just in my brain how it processed a little
bit. All right, so pervert. Jeez.
Yeah. No, I know. Sorry. Always in the gutter. Immediately goes to the gutter. Finishing up, we had these two articles from Fantasy Pros. We were just talking about the top 10 mistakes. There was some, you know, kind of like more universal draft strategy. Then it's getting a little bit more particular. Like the second round quarterback one, I agree. It's just, I think it's a little tropey at this point, like why it's even being set. Another one, Joe Bond says, letting site specific pre-draft rankings skew the way you draft. That's just another version of the ADP. And we actually tackle that with our ranks analysis that I think we would all agree with that one. But at the same time, though, use that to your advantage. And that's why we do the episode that we have. Let's see.
I like these two opposite ones real quick down here. And it's Bobby Sylvester says drafting with injury optimism is a big no-no. And then Jared Smola from Draft Shark says drafting for safety is a big mistake. So,
well, then check out this, though. Even above that, our boy Jake says buying all the risk. So you've got buying all the risk, drafting with injury optimism, and drafting for safety. Those are all like different relative type of things.
Right.
Like people only want to go safe, and then people don't care about injuries, and then buying all the risk. I think those are pretty standard ones.
Yeah, and I think it also lends towards how you probably should draft is you need to take a couple swings. And sometimes your swings are going to be on rookies. Sometimes your swings are going to be on injury bounce back or bad performance bounce back or a guy getting a role eventually in the season, you know, which is something I did in multiple quarterback leagues with Tua, you know, just saying, I think he's going to be starting by week 8, which is the bye week of my quarterback. So I'll take Tua in this spot just to see what kind of upside he's got. So, you know, it just, you have to take a swing somewhere. You can't draft wholly for safety, but if you only take upside risk, like Jake said, you're going to get smoked because they're not all going to work. If they all work, then you're going to win the league by like 500 points.
I think the best way to sum
never
up
never happens.
You can sum up all three by just saying balance is what those are getting at. The last one is just about positional run, but this one is really interesting to me. And this was done by one of the footballers that says starting roster priority. And actually you and I didn't get in an argument, but like we were battling between this when we were drafting a super flex team together. And as he says, he goes, there's some psychology that happens when you see your roster fill up. You feel compelled or pulled to get your starting lineup set before you move on to your bench. And I actually agree with this one. I know the league size can sometimes kind of matter with this. And, you know, this can go both ways. But I kind of agree with if you understand your drafting habits and you understand the board properly that I don't think you need to go so crazy about filling up your roster. And I don't know if you feel, I feel like you're going to feel a little bit opposite of that because we got kind of in a thing about that when we were drafting where I was ready to go to bench because of the player pool. And you're like, well, we got to keep getting this roster filled up.
No, actually I feel like I always do the opposite of that because I always want running backs. Okay. I always want running back depth. So in most of the mocks that we've done, I fill out my second running or my first bench running back, sometimes my second before I have my third wideout because wideout's so deep this year. And we did this where we were taking bench players instead of position players for our tight end and flex our starter wound up being Dallas Goedert because we just waited and waited and waited on a starting tight end because, you know, the ones that we wanted would go before us. We were on the end, so we had to wait for some of the runs to go too. So, but
I guess I wasn't really talking about that. I don't even count tight end. I think the situation that arose for us was we had taken a quarterback in the first and second round, and this is super flex. And we had already drafted multiple running backs. I think we even had our fourth running back at that time, but we had not filled out our wideouts, or it was something along those lines. And I was ready. No, this is what it was. We actually had just filled, we had gone quarterback, running back, running back, running back, wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. And I was ready to try to pull on another decent quarterback, and you were still wanting to fill out the roster. It was something along those lines. You said we still had starters, or I'm forgetting. Maybe it was in the wide. You know what? No, it was in the wide receiver run because we went three straight wide receivers. There was something where you wanted one of the wideouts,
and
I was ready for quarterback because there were still some good quarterback names that were sitting out there.
And in that specific scenario, the reason why I didn't want to take a third quarterback is because we have two top five quarterbacks. So
yeah,
we're not, whoever we drafted at that point, we're not spot starting. He's an injury person and a bye week person only, because you're not taking Russell Wilson. You're not taking Lamar Jackson off the field. So that's why I, in that scenario, that's why I was like, well, let's just get this third wideout, because this guy's going to be playing every week. Whoever we get as a backup quarterback is not going to
well,
be.
Also, because in that case, well, you were right, because the roster ended up, like, the wide receivers that we got was a perfect case scenario, because we had kind of implemented this zero wide receiver strategy that we went with. So it ended up being right. But I just think it's an interesting one to talk about, because I sometimes the mental aspect of drafting in fantasy is a bigger thing to get over, where
and you
you're
can
worried.
See the adjustment we just talked about. That's an adjustment, is where, like I said, normally I'm the one that's like, no, let's get, before I get that third wideout, let's get a bench running back, because they're going to get real ugly real quick. And in this scenario, because the draft was different and because of what we had already done, we readjusted and wanted to get that starter.
I think it's a good one for people to keep in mind, because that had to do with, you know, when I was doing the all running back strategy, I was drafting no quarter in mock draft 9.0, the podcast, if you want to listen to, I drafted no quarterbacks and tight ends until the 10th round. And I was filling out backups, running back and wideout, before I even considered going in the other spots. And that ended up being one of probably the best teams I put together. So that is a really good, that was a good one to point out. Second article that you can take a look at over on Fantasy Pros, it is ADP risers and fallers. And this one is by Isaiah Syrois. I don't know if I said his name correctly, but you can check out the article on it. We're not going to read you the blurbs, but I do want to go through who he's doing a comparison from July 29th to August 5th in what some of the risers are looking like in ADP. The only thing, though, is I want to see where he's pulling this ADP information from. As he says,
I use sort of Fantasy Pros information, which
it's their ADP tool.
Okay, which includes ESPN and Yahoo. So this is kind of an overall, this isn't on a
and Fantrax, NFFC. It actually, I'm looking right now.
Oh, it has Fantrax and NFFC?
It actually is not. It doesn't show ESPN. It is pulling MFL, FFC, and Fantrax on the board. And then in the article, he says,
I think there might be something where ESPN is just like, it's such a pain in the ass to pull their ADP that people just don't do it.
Yeah, he says in here, he goes, as a result, let's see, you should be careful track of each player's ADP. Fantasy Pros ADP tool will help you track differences between sites. ESPN's rankings may lead to one player going early than that, say Yahoo. So that's something you'll want to know as well. It's interesting he says that, but then on their tool, it simply just shows it simply just shows those sites. And then actually in the tool, it says you can also pull the PPR scoring for ESPN and Yahoo, but it's not listed on here. So just take that for what it is, regardless. Okay. It's FFC has got some good info. MFL is a bigger draft. Fantrax, I would actually kind of a little bit like to know if, because it's not really clear in all of this, if ESPN and Yahoo is considered in here. But regardless of the point, let's talk about it for a minute. He has got 8 ADP risers and then 8 ADP fallers to talk about. And the first one, I don't think it's really a surprise, but Lamar Jackson is rising from July 29th to August 5th. He was going around 20 in July and 17.5 through 8.5. Let me speculate here for a minute to wonder if the ADP is skewered a little bit because of like super flex type of drafts in MFL and FFC.
You know, that's a good point. I didn't even consider that. I just thought that more dummies are drafting now, and they don't know anyone but the quarterbacks. And that's why, because Lamar Jackson is not the only QB on this risers list. I think Russell Wilson's in there too, and Deshaun Watson as well. So,
and Dak Russell and Deshaun Watson, they're at the bottom. They're the bottom three. So I wonder if, I don't know if he, I don't see him really accounting for it, but I kind of think this might have to do with some of these sites and their super flex. Also, you know, best balls on fan tracks, the flex leagues. Let me just throw this little weird nugget at you. Since the data is between the 29th and the 5th, the flex leagues are held on fan track. So, you know, their data is going to be put into
there.
They're
all between those dates. So,
and they're all between those dates, and there's a bunch of super flexes that are in there. So the quarterback ones might be a little bit skewed, but how about this one? And this one's not even the most accurate, because the data just isn't enough. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire was going 29, you know, July 29th, up to 19. And they're saying, hey, that's a 10 spot difference. I mean, I'll tell you, he's going top 10 on Yahoo. Well, we just did a draft and he was the ninth player on a normal PPR under their X rank. So he's moving up, but he's going up way further than even this article is dictating.
And Jake, who basically runs Flex, says that he, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire went, I think, 11 or 12 in our draft.
And no, he went 10. That was the lowest. Went 10.
Okay. Yeah. That was my point was that was the lowest he went. Was 10, and that was in a super flex league where quarterbacks are getting taken in the first round as well. So I think in a lot of leagues, he's going to be around 7 for some people. And it seems to be that there's almost always a Clyde Edwards-Helaire truther in each of these leagues. So he's going real, real high in all of them right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's going to stay that way.
So, you know, what's funny about this is I feel like we've pared down this top 8 ADP risers that 5 don't really count because 4 quarterbacks, which I don't think mean anything. I think it's the data skewing to super flex leagues. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, this isn't even right because he's going in the top 10. So let's get down to the 3 guys that let's see where it is. Again, this is funny. Feels like really trying to pull some teeth here on why this movement, but I guess it's a top 50 player. This guy only has moved up 2 spots in ADP, but for what it's worth, there's a story here, I guess. Mark Andrews was going just under 44, essentially 44, July 29th, now going 41 and a half. So 41, 42, however you want to consider it. Only gone up 2 spots, but it does seem like there's a little bit more of a push for him being a part of the top tight end tier and people not wanting to have the drop off. Because once he goes, it moves away pretty drastically.
I almost feel like it's separating that tight end tier. I feel like it's separating into Kelce or Kittle. And then Ertz and Andrews, where it
That's
used to
point,
be
yeah.
Like at the beginning of the season, it was those top 3 guys and then Mark Andrews a little bit after them and then everybody else. But now it seems to be Kelce and Kittle are, you know, round 2, round 3. Ertz and Andrews have been kind of interchangeable. So that feels like it's moving. The other one here, Jonathan Taylor, I think that's just a rookie player. Running back specifically getting helium here because
he had that photo
scarcity looks ugly. So.
Also, I mean, literally that photo of him probably boosted him up a couple spots for people. Did you mention AJ Brown? He was also on there. He went up.
No, I didn't say AJ Brown, but also that's an upside hack. Yeah. I think that's a lot of extrapolators.
So. There's maybe something like that. I mean, I like AJ Brown a lot, but he's moving up.
I do too, but getting a little crazy.
The fallers, Julio Jones, has moved from the July 29th date to August 5th from 13, call it 14, down to 16. So he's moved 2.5 spots down. I'm going to just go through them and then we can talk about them. Austin Eckler from 16 down to 18.5. Aaron Jones from 17 to about 20. Adam Thielen has gone from 33 to 37. Chris Carson, 33 to 37. David Johnson moving down from 37.5 to 41. And T.Y. Hilton, the biggest dropper, 55 to 60. So those are the biggest ADP droppers over the last week.
I think a lot of these guys have injury stuff. T.Y. Hilton, David Johnson, Chris Carson, all have Julio, I guess you could say, just historically with his foot stuff that he's had and battled, has had injury stuff. The Austin Eckler and Aaron Jones, I think, can easily be pointed to as, you know, we know that Aaron Jones is going to score as many touchdowns as he did last year. And I think Austin Eckler is just some people not. They don't believe that he can do. He can be the guy for a full season.
I feel like Eckler and Clyde Edwards-Helaire are going to define us this year. I feel like that'll be the defining factor because I'm just not like Clyde Edwards-Helaire is without question ahead of Eckler right now in industry stuff, and I think ADP data will probably show that in about a week or so. And I'm just, neither one of us are here for that. We're not here for that movement at all.
Yeah, no, not at all. And look, I understand the buzz on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't know where it's coming from. He's on the best offense in football, and he's the main back now. But, you know, people that say that Austin Eckler can't handle it, Austin Eckler, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is 5'7". 207 pounds. Austin Eckler, so let me get his height and weight here for you, is 5'10", 200. So people think that Austin Eckler is his scat back that can't carry the load and all this stuff. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is 3 inches shorter than him, you know. So, and if you've seen pictures of Eckler, he is chiseled and ready to go. Offense isn't as good, granted, but there's not, you know, CMC is the only pass catching back that's as good as Eckler in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I don't understand people not liking him.
It's an interesting look. I'm not sure what you can really take out of it, but it's good to follow because you want to have all of those tools at your disposal, just like you would with the Draft Analysis Show. And guess what? That is the end of hour two. I'm out of here. John Lobb is coming up. It's Bogman Lobb looking over the Superflex draft. So you guys have a fantastic one. But don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.